Miss Cynthia, that was awesome. Man, you got into them singing chords. That was nice. I leaned over and I said, does she sing this good all the time? This is good. Listen, I don't know how to act. So I know we got guests here today, but I don't know how to act. You know what I'm saying? I just like to think out loud. Take your Bibles, go to 2 Samuel. Chapter 9, and I know we've had a lot of talking and a lot of singing and a lot of giving. But I hope you're like me. Sometimes I just need a word. Man, I didn't come to church this morning to try to get home.
Amen.
I mean, if you're sitting here right now going, man, this ain't going long. Hey, you can slip on out the back. We won't say a word. Amen. Yeah. That's right. We're living on the border. 2 Samuel chapter 9. I got up this morning. I like the lost that I was preparing, looking over every Sunday morning. I get up, have a cup of coffee. Every day I get up, have a cup of coffee, and read my Bible. And Sunday morning I usually just kind of make sure I'm lined up right. Well, this morning I got up a little bit late. I took some coffee, some blue water. Some Kool-Aid water and poured it in the coffee maker. It don't make coffee taste good when you drink Kool-Aid with coffee. So I had to reboot and restart, and I was all behind. And so in one part of it, I leaned over and I just told the Lord, I said, God, speak to me this morning. I want to talk to them like what you want to talk to me about. And I read over it again, and then I went into the other room, and I put on my favorite worship song, and I ain't going to tell you what it is because you'll steal my go-to. And all of a sudden, God spoke. And he took the whole message, and he condensed it down into just one thought. And I'm going to give you all a little bit more in that, but I'm going to give you real one big thought to go home with today. And hopefully, if we'll lose our... Or one layer of our dignity this morning. Because I don't want you to come in here the same. And God don't either. He don't want you to come in here hurt, broken, in a mess, needing Jesus, needing help, and you going out here the same, Satan got the little box checked that you went to church. What he wants is a revived heart and mind. What he wants is salvation to you. Have y'all found 2 Samuel chapter 9 by now? All right, good. Let's jump into word. And David said, is there yet any that is left in the house of Saul that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? And there was in the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul that I may show the kindness of God unto him? And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son, which is lame on his feet. And the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, in Lodabar. Then the king David sent and fetched him out of the house of Machir, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar. Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence, and David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold thy servant. And David said unto him, fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness for Jonathan thy father's sake, and will restore thee all the land of Saul thy father, and thou shalt eat the bread of my table continually. And he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant, that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thee, the master's son, all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Thou therefore and thy sons and thy servants shall till the land for him, and thou shalt bring in the fruits, that the master's son may have the food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat the bread always at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all my lord the king hath commanded his servants, so shall the servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. And Mephibosheth had a young son whose name was Micah. And all that dwelt in the house of Ziba were the servants of Mephibosheth. So Mephibosheth dwelt in Jerusalem, for he did eat continually at the king's table and was lame on both his feet. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, have your way just for a few moments here with us. And let us see what you'd have us to see, and let us go out better than we came in, because we have done business with the king. In Jesus' name. The first thing is, I love what David does. It's like Jesus, when his throne was established, he reaches out in grace to a person who separated, an enemy of his. Well, let me break it down and make it simple for you. Everybody in this room, you're an enemy of Christ at one time in your life or another. Amen? You're an enemy of his kingdom. You are a king to yourself. You thought that you were the king of your life. And Jesus then became the king. And guess what? He reached out by grace for us. We were all fallen kings. I like Ziba in this story. When I first started reading the Bible, I thought Ziba was kind of a hero. Amen? I did, and then later on in life, as I developed a little bit of a reading habit and a praying habit and studying how Ziba comes out, and I realized that Ziba was just a person that God used in Mephibosheth's life. Their life had a crossing pattern, and both of them were going to benefit by what God was doing. And guess what? Ziba was trying to get somewhere, and Mephibosheth was going somewhere with God, and he used Ziba to get Mephibosheth where he wanted him. God, I hope I preached that right. What I'm trying to say is you don't owe anybody anything except for Jesus. Just because somebody comes into your life and helps you get on the right path, you don't have to be subservient. You don't have to owe them. You don't have to say, because of this person, I am where I am. I'm in ministry because of this person. I'm saved because of this person. I'm in church because of this person. And therefore, you have to follow them around the rest of your life and listen to everything they say and do. Sometimes God just lines up a person with you and you line up with them to get both needs met. I'm preaching better than y'all are letting on right there. Some of y'all are sitting here thinking there's some people in your life, they just think if they've told you something good in their life, you owe them the rest of your life. You gotta come and tell them, oh man, just because you got me here. Just because you, I'm preaching. Just because you, I'm teaching. Just because you, I got in faith. Guess what? The only reason you got in faith is because Jesus loves you. Just because Jesus reached down for you, amen? And he set Mephibosheth on another line right there. But I was thinking about Mephibosheth when he calls him, he's in a place called Lodabar. It means no pastor. I've been there before, amen? And when I mean, he had no word, amen? He was at a place where he didn't have any help, amen? And he was down there, but he was lame in both feet. If you go to 2 Samuel 4 and 4, you'll find that somebody who cared about him dropped him. I just came here to tell you this morning, everybody in this room's got a bad story, a sad story. Somebody's either dropped you or you fail, amen? Guess what? It's not about the fall. It's about how we get up. It's not about who dropped us. It's going to who's going to pick us up. Amen? You can't just sit there your whole life and go, this happened to me, I'm going to stop. This ain't going my way, I'm going to quit. Amen? When you're in Lodabar, what you need to say is, God, here I am, get me out of here. This is not what life was supposed to be about. What I love is his daddy, amen? Jonathan got in covenant and in relationship with the God man. Oh, golly, Bob. Are y'all going to help me preach this morning? Y'all just going to keep standing there looking at me like a calf at a new gate? Amen? Because some of y'all are just sitting here going like this, man, when's this going to be over? Praise God, listen to me. I'm trying to sow something into your life and do it in a quick manner to help you when you walk out of here. Listen, some of you in this room that are fathers and mothers, some of you need to get in covenant with Jesus, and some of you need to get in relationship with Jesus. And it wouldn't hurt if you get in both. See, Jonathan fell in love with David. What it was, Jonathan fell in love with God's plan over his plan. Amen? Then he fell in love with the God man, but then he made a covenant with him. Whew. Listen, we're saved because of covenant and relationship. Amen?
We're saved because of covenant and relationship. The covenant says, if you do X, Y, and Z, you can be saved. After you get saved, then you fall in love with the one who made the covenant. Is there anybody in here in love with Jesus? Now listen, I'll just be honest with you. When I first got saved, I don't know if I was in love with him. I'm just going to be honest with you. I don't know. I just know that I was a sinner. I was lost. I was broken. I was in need. He broke me in the right place. He always does. To save me. But then after he saved me, I fell in love with his plan over my plan. Is there anybody in here been saved? And you've been saved and all of a sudden you're starting to see the development of his plan in your life over your plan? Like how you thought your life was going to go and how you started working on it and you ran it in the ditch and all of a sudden now God got a hold of it and all of a sudden he took a mess and made it good. So listen, why I tell you that is, be a Jonathan right here. If you're in covenant and in relationship with Jesus, start doing stuff like this. God, if my kids get in a place where I can't rescue them, I can't help them, and I can't go, you go. Amen? Because Jonathan had already died. King David had already been put on the throne. But because he had a relationship and a covenant with Jonathan, he looked out and said, Is there somebody I can bless in his house? He said, yeah, I got a son that's fallen and broken. A broken king in a broken place. Amen? Ain't that cool? Well, here, I came to give you this message. This is where I got lost. And if something were to happen to me, and I got caught up in the spirit, and I can't finish this message, somebody come up here and sing a song. And have altar call. I don't know if it's going to happen, because it happened a couple times this morning. But what I love about this story more than anything else now is he knows my name. Amen? Well, at the end of this story, look at this. At the end of this story, Mephibosheth is crippled. But see, what happened is they put him at the table of God. So all of his deficiencies are covered by God's grace. Amen? But watch this right here. This is what I like. Before he knew who God was, before he had ever talked about him, before he had even thought about reaching out, while he was in his broken place, while he was in his dark place, while he was in a place where there was no word, in the throne room, in the throne room of God. Not David. Jesus. God. And the Holy Ghost. Everything's settled in heaven. I don't know when you got saved, but if you're saved, one day God looked over and said, what about Ed? Where's he? What about Gary? Where's he? Where's Rebecca at? Where's she? One day, in the throne room of glory, he leaned over. And I want to say it's partially because there was a man who made covenant with God by the name of Ronnie Shelton, and who had made prayer. And he said, if there's ever a day that I can't get a hold of him, would you please save my sons? Will you please reach out to him where I can't go? And one day, God's faithfulness, he leans over and he goes, where's Kevin? And the servant, the Holy Spirit, says, I know right where he is. He's in a place of no pastor. He's in a place of brokenness. He's been dropped. And he can't get up without no help. They send for him. Go get him. I want to see him. Listen, I hope you get a hold of this in the throne room of glory. If you're saved, if you're not pretending, if you're not playing, one day the God of all God, the King of kings, the Lord of lords has spoken your name. Your name could be on a million people's mouths and lips, but God himself said, where is my child? My gosh. All of a sudden, somebody's down in Lodabar putting them together, getting this stuff together. God, I hope y'all can just bear with me just for a few more seconds. I didn't know how. I didn't know what was happening with God. I'm just all of a sudden something showing up and starting to put my life back together. And I didn't even know, hey, what are you doing with that stuff? Can y'all see Mephibosheth? What are you doing with my clothes? You're going to see the king. Who is the king? David. David's the king. He sent for you. What am I supposed to wear? God, I hope y'all let me preach. What am I supposed to wear to the king's house? Oh, what you got on's fine. But I can't even stand up. He don't need you to stand. What do I do? What's the protocol? Be there. Well, I can't even get up there on my own. I can't even walk without him holding my hand. I want to seek him, but I don't even know how to look for him, but he looks for me. I love that when people say that. I found Jesus. You ain't found nothing. You were lost as last year's Easter egg. He found you. Amen. And I see him. They bring Mephibosheth, and they roll him out in front of Jesus. And he's sitting there, and I love it. He don't know what to do. Listen, some of y'all don't know how to do. You don't know how to do Jesus. But guess what he does? First thing he does, he's a fallen man. He goes, are you Mephibosheth? Mephibosheth? God, he says, watch this. I know it's gross. People shouldn't do it in church. But I don't belong here. I don't belong here. I don't belong here. Why do you want somebody like me? See, if you'll start in a place like that, God will establish your place in his kingdom. You can't get to heaven on your face, on your feet, with your neck straight and your back straight. You have to get low before God and say, oh God, why would you want somebody like me? And he'll say, I've always wanted somebody like you. And he picks Mephibosheth up. And what I love about it is, and we talk about this in the church, we really don't know what we're talking about. We're talking about it. When I get to heaven, I'm going to do, and when I get to heaven, and that's great. My mansion, he's built me a mansion in heaven. I love all that. That's great. But what I loved about it is, he told Ziba, he said, you work the fields. You bring in the harvest. You work his mansions and his property. Gosh, brother, his property, that's all his. But that ain't the blessing. Come on, man. That ain't even the good place. What the good thing is, while he has all that, he'll sit at my table. Listen, you'll get to heaven. Your mansion will be nice. Your place will be nice. But the greatest place that you'll ever spend in heaven is sitting right at the table of Jesus. And somebody will say, you want to run down and look at the mansion? No. No, I think I'll just sit here and look at my Savior. See, we didn't deserve a place at the table. He just made one for us. Amen? And I want to tell you this from the bottom of my heart this morning. If you've got a place at the table, you should make it a big to-do about it. I mean, you should make a big to-do about it. Because some people are wanting to get seated in high places. When somebody mentions that, you say, I've already got a seat reserved. Let me give you Bible for it, Ephesians chapter 2. It says, I sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus already. I've got a seat at the table. Amen? But I want to tell you this. There's a seat. There is a seat assigned for you. All that's missing is a name tag to go in front of your seat. See, your name is not recorded in heaven yet. Your seat's reserved. God's calling you to the seat, but you got excuses. And the Bible said he invited several people and they all came up with great excuses. Literally, they were all terrible excuses. But you know what he did after that? Let's all stand as they come get a song. You know what God did after he gave all the invites out? This is my favorite part of that story. Golly, bum. You know what God did when he gave out all the invitations? Do you know what he did? After he ran out of invitations and nobody wanted to come, you know what he said? It's one of the most beautiful places in the Bible. He said, go out into the highways and hedges. Go get the sickest, lamest, broken, desperate people in the world. And guess what? Ask them to come to the bridegroom's supper. When you get to heaven, you're going to look across and there's going to be a bunch of people who were homeless. Some people that were drug addicted. There are going to be some people, I'm about to preach, I'm about to get blew up in here right now. There's going to be some people that you thought, I'm better than them. No, you weren't. And you know what? Y'all might not like this, but this is the kind of preacher I am. In heaven, there's going to be millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of little children who nobody wanted. But God said, if the church won't send them to heaven, maybe the abortion clinic will. We're going to be sitting there looking out of a sea of children who said, God wanted me. God wanted me. Amen? Heaven's going to be filled with a lot of people who are rejected on earth. And you say, why are you telling me that? Because we're in a beautiful sanctuary and you got some nice clothes on and you look good. But God's only going to invite you so many times before he goes out here in the highways and hedges and begs somebody else to come. So it's my job to stand here as your pastor today and say, come to Jesus. Don't wait. Don't make another excuse. I will someday. I will when I get closer to God. I will when I come to church more. I will one day when I get... Today is the day of salvation. Don't reject your opportunity to be saved, as they sing this morning. Come and seek the Lord while he may be found.
Hey, some people in here right now, you're under great conviction. God's after you from the very beginning of this service until now. Come. Don't wait one more second. Just step out and come and pray on this altar. Somebody will come pray with you. And if they don't, God will meet you. Come on. You sit here and thought, well, my husband won't understand if I go. Go anyway. You say, well, my wife won't understand if I go. Go anyway. My friend won't understand if I go. Go anyway. Come on. Step out and step up to the Lord right now. Hurry up. Seek the Lord.
When I'm broken.
Some of y'all need to rededicate your lives to Jesus. Some of you need to get saved. Come on.
When I'm sinking like a stone, and it feels like I'm alone, I will worship you. When I'm so scared, life is unfair. When I'm dead.